that the wind?
Yes.
Goodness. Well, this is Sunday morning. This is November the 17th, 2019. And the title of this teaching is Winning the Battle by Controlling the Narrative. Yeah, it's echoing.
What's the title again?
Winning the Battle by Controlling the Narrative.
This is the Prophet's Corner.
No, this is a teaching. We hear a lot about narrative today, but it's not anything new. In Genesis 1, God set the narrative. You know, God has His ways, and things operate His way or they don't operate. So when we get in line with the way He operates, things are going to go our way. And I believe that's by setting the narrative, because it's what you believe is what you act on. If you don't believe it, just go anywhere. Just observe people. They act on what they believe. Whatever narrative they choose to believe, that's how they act. All right, we're going to look in the book of Genesis first, Genesis chapter 1. Verse 3. Now, we have to set a picture here. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And then, my little just title here in this translation says, the earth was waste and empty. Well, if God made it, we know it was good. So what happened? Another narrative. So the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So it indicates there was a pre-Adam civilization of some kind, and it was covered in water, it says. So I don't know if that means there was a flood like happened in Noah's day, or we know that outside the dome of the firmament is water. God sits in the deep. His throne is, above the firmament is water. Verse 8 says that. It says here, and God called the firmament heaven. Well, it says the firmament is called heaven in the evening and the morning or the second day. But in verse, I think it's 4. Let me look here. No, it's verse 6. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, divided the waters that were under the firmament from the waters that were above the firmament. So the earth is just out there in water. Dark. The life of God had been taken out of the planet because the destroyer had been there. All right. What did God do when He saw what He had made that was good and perfect and sound? Oh my God, what are we going to do, Holy Spirit? Well, what do you think, Jesus? Is it salvageable? God said, right here, let there be light. And there was light. And light there, from what I understand, means life, Zoe. In Him was life, and life was the light of Him. Him was light, and in Him was the light of men, life of men. Is that the way it says? In Him was life or light, Danny? In Him was light. Anyway. He didn't just say light be, but He took it. Look at everything that was not in the original order, and He made it good. When we read the whole chapter, we see things that were out of order were put back in order. I'm still echoing. We're just going to read chapter 1. We're going to see. Thank you. It says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So we don't really know how old the earth is, do we? We know how long man's been here, but we don't know how long that set out there like it was. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. God said that there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, but to divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, divided the waters which were under the firmament for the waters which were above the firmament. It was so. God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. God called the dry land earth. Evidently there was. It was all flooded with water because he had to make those divisions. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth vegetation, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth vegetation, and herb yielding seed after its kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after its kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. Just a thought on reflecting. I've been thinking about this for a while, and I'm convinced of it, that the Lord has shown me that everything that's going on in our world today and everything that has happened, we can find it in the Bible somewhere. God didn't just do stuff in one corner and no, it didn't document it anywhere else. We're going to be able to find in Scripture things to back it up. So we don't have to go to outside sources, outside opinions, or anything else to verify about God and about what he did or what he didn't do. So always remember that. When you come into something that you're not sure about, you can always go to the Lord about it and say, Lord, where can I find this in your word? Where can I base this that's happening in Scripture? I found that every single time when I'm on a quest, especially when he's going to have me teach it on television and it's a new subject and I'm just not sure, he always qualifies it with Scripture so that I can bring it from a biblical perspective. Because who needs another talking head? They're all talking and they're all saying a lot of things out there, but I only care about what God says is really the truth. I want to know the truth about everything he says I need to know about it. If it's in this book, I believe I need to know about it. I need you to know about it too. So to me, that's a safety. So there's nothing outside. See, the devil's narrative is Star Trek. Let's go where no man's gone before. Strange worlds and land. You know what I'm saying? There ain't anything outside this. Man needs to go here, this land, this place, this universe, this sphere, his word, the one he made, not one that Hollywood made. See, men are looking beyond the stars and beyond this and beyond that. That's what God put the firmament over there. God, man always wants what it can't have, doesn't he? Well, God says, I'm not going through that firmament, so I want to go beyond that firmament. So what did Satan do? Promoted a narrative that man grabbed a hold of to try to convince men. So they go to infinity and beyond. Thank you, Lord. Okay, where did I stop? Eleven. And God said, let the earth bring forth vegetation, and herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation and herb yielding seed after its kind, the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after its kind. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights, the great one to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And in the evening and the morning were the fourth day. God said, let waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. God created great sea monsters and every living creature that moveth, which the water brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth a living creature after its kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after its kind. And it was so. We see why our world is out of order. And why we are seeing what we're seeing is because man has gotten out of God's order. Kind with kind. Whether it be in our crops that we produce. Whether it be in, getting married. Breeding animals, kind with kind. Humans, male and female, kind with kind. And God made the beasts of the earth after its kind, and cattle after their kind, and every kind that creepeth upon the earth after its kind. And God saw that it was good. God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, or the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every green herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, every tree which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to it shall be for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given even green herb for food. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and morning were the sixth day. So God set it all down day one and made man to do just exactly what he had done. God set the narrative, and he wanted his man to continue. Okay, he looked and saw one narrative and changed it to his narrative. He looked and saw one narrative and changed it. Okay, God was not the victim of Satan's narrative, and he doesn't want you to be either. We're not victims down here. He has given us the earth to subdue it, made in his image, made in his likeness. All right. The only way to walk by faith is to walk by God's word. That is his narrative. If you're a Christian and you do not walk by faith, then you will be subject to Satan's narrative. There is no recourse. You serve one master or the other. There's no in-between. There's no gray area. Well, I'm just progressive. No, I'm just do my own thing. No, you're not doing your own thing. You're under either the puppet master, or you have freedom in Christ Jesus to walk and speak and talk and act like God. Satan tries to get men to walk by the flesh versus walking by the Spirit. Even the Old Testament, God honored faith and was able to get things accomplished. He's always been a faith God. He's never changed. Just because people didn't join the narrative, he gave them what they wanted. That's what the law was. It wasn't what God wanted. God wanted a nation that walked by faith. Faith always bypasses Satan's narrative, always. I remember the Lord telling me one time, I'll pass over 1 million people to get to one person that's a person of faith. I mean, when Jesus saw the man at the pool, he went to one guy out of 1,000 masses of sick people. He went to one. He had Satan's narrative. When everybody just steps in ahead of me. I don't have anybody to take me to the pool. Jesus said, pick up your bed and walk. He had an opportunity to choose which narrative he would be under. If you're under the pity party narrative, you're under Satan's narrative. That's not God. But you walk by faith and you speak and act like God, that's God's narrative. Okay, Genesis 18. God has always been a God of faith. He's never changed his mind. He will never change his mind. He will never be anything but a faith God. Well, but he's the God of the Old Testament and all this stuff. No, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But he had to deal with the stiff-necked people. He had to deal with people that didn't want to walk by faith. He dealt with them, and they just wouldn't do it. And so he gave them what they wanted. But he's always looking for the person of faith. Okay, 18:1. And the Lord appeared unto him by the oaks of Mamre, and he sat in the tent in the heat of the day. This is Abraham. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. Said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on, for therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, So do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah, and said, Make ready quickly three measures of fine meal. Knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran into the herd, and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hastened to dress it. He took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I have become old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? The Lord said unto Sarah, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child who am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not. She was afraid, and he said, Nay, but thou didst laugh. And the men rose up from there and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great nation and mighty nation? All the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. So, this looked like a situation that was never going to change. After 25 years for struggling with the promise and trying to work it their own way and get the results that they wanted, and nothing ever seemed to come to pass or happen, God decrees. They have a choice. They're going to believe it. Well, you saw Sarah's state. She laughed. See, God was looking for a man of faith, Abraham. In fact, he's called the father of our faith, actually. Hebrews talks about that. I mean, not Hebrews. Romans. Romans 4. Okay. Hebrews 11 talks about the Faith Hall of Fame, and in that we see these people that did all of these exploits for God. Let's look at that right quick. And then we'll come back to Romans 4. Hebrews 11. God hasn't changed since he said light be light was. Verse 1 says, Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders received witness. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Get a hold of that verse right there alone. When we come to him, he is a rewarder. If we don't come in faith, he's not pleased with that, because he wants to give us whatever we request. But he can't do it if we don't believe. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world, became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now, in Noah's day, it's kind of like our day, and people didn't believe Noah because he preached 120 years and built that ark, and everybody saw it, and everybody turned a blind eye and a deaf ear to his message, and they perished. I mean, God doesn't just do things in a day. This stuff, it took some time. It seems like, because we read it in chapters, that it seemed like, oh, it just happened, bam, bam, bam. No, it didn't. 120 years. He said he would give man 120 years. In this situation, when you read it in context, in Genesis, he gave them 120 years to repent of what? The things they were doing, what these angels had caused these people to do. Well, who were these angels? Did they really have authority over man? No. They didn't have to let that narrative dominate the earth. All right. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing where he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. There came a day Sarah had to believe. She had to quit rolling around in her circumstances for 25 years, doubting, moaning and groaning, probably having boo-hoos. There came a day she had to finally believe. She had to make the decision to believe. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but have seen them afar off, and persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to return. And now they desire a better country, that is unheavenly. Thereof God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he had prepared for them a city. This land that we're taking is our city. It's a place of walking in dominion over Satan, decreeing by faith what laws go in this land, not Satan's narrative. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "And Isaac shall thy seed be called," accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which also he received him in a figure. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, gave commandment concerning his bones. So these people looked into the future by faith and declared the blessing on the next generation. They decreed it. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as dry land, which the Egyptians attempting to do were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, and of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel of the prophets, who through faith. Now listen, faith is no new concept. It has been around since God created. Well, it's been around before that time, but for us, when God created, it's been there. It's been all through the Old Testament, and that's why this chapter is here, so that we see our lineage. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yet moreover bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tested, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Of whom the world was not worthy, they wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having received witness through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. And it goes on chapter 12 to talk about this great cloud of witnesses. We just read about them. This is the great cloud of witnesses, Hebrews 11. The ones that did it by faith. They overcame. They're overseen. They're cheering us on, I believe, in our walk of faith. They're trying to say, oh, you know, come on, you can do it. I know it's tough, but you can do it. We did it. You can do it. How much more can you do it than we did it? Because you've got better promises based on a better covenant, a covenant of faith. Okay, Romans 4, this way, Romans 4. The day has come. We have to begin to call for the things we want, and we need to stop calling for the things we do not want. This is verse 16. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which are the faith of Abraham, is the father of us all. As it is written, and made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who giveth life to the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. He called it by faith. Right here, I mean, it says 18, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. 25 years. I think they'd both given up. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. I heard someone say just in the last few weeks, and I don't remember who it was, I might have just read it, that they had had a visitor. Oh, it was Reverend Buck, the one that had all the visitations of angels. He was caught up to heaven, and in his account in heaven, he went to where the Faith Hall of Fame was. And he was reading about Abraham. The Lord allowed him to look into Abraham. He saw no failure recorded there. And he said, you know he did. He failed. You know he did. You know he messed up. But he said that it wasn't recorded there. God does not record failure, he said. So quit beating yourself up about not being further along than you should be. God doesn't see your failure. He sees your faith. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform. and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Faith is imputed to us for righteousness, not blame or shame. Okay, Romans 5:17. For if by one man's office death reigned by one, much more they who receive abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. So faith comes, reigns by grace. This reigns over Satan. This reigns over him. I was sharing with Danny something. I had listened to a YouTube broadcast. It was very interesting because it confirmed some things to me I'd been seeking the Lord about concerning talking about aliens and the things, you know, explaining to people on television in this teaching. And they were talking about these underground bases where they deal with these, they call them interdimensional. They're not extraterrestrial, they're interdimensional. They're demons. And he was talking about in these records that they found and they read that it was documented that when you go on these bases, if you were working with them, because they're working with these entities, that you were not allowed to use the name of Jesus. It's so powerful, and it puts these things in agony. It torments them. And I'm thinking, guns a-blazing, pow, 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 in the name of Jesus, I'm telling you. They don't have any power over those that walk by faith and have the name of Jesus. We've overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, by the name of Jesus. We don't know how powerful we are. That's the problem. The church doesn't know what we are and who we are and what we have. They don't act like it. Okay. This reigns over Satan. He can't stop people of faith, but they can bind him, tread on him, resist him, and he will flee, and it will defeat him every time. It is unbeatable. Do I need to say that again? Let me read it again. He can't stop people of faith, but they can bind him, tread on him, resist him, and he will flee, and it will defeat him every time. It is unbeatable. There's an important key, though. It is wonderful to believe God's word, but you must begin to change your circumstances. But you must believe your words. See, it's not enough to believe God's word. A lot of people believe God's word, and it doesn't do anything for them. It's when you begin to believe your words. Were we made in his image and likeness? I read all of that in Genesis for this. We were made in his likeness and in his image, and we were made to subdue. Go back to Adam. God brought the animals before Adam to see what he would call them. Lord, what would you have me call them? No. His words. Adam's words. And God said whatever he called them, that's what they were. That's what's been happening for thousands of years on this earth. Thousands of years, people are getting exactly what they call for. Well, I ain't going to get it. Then when we don't get it, well, I don't know why God don't love me. Because he brought it before you and said, call it what you want it. Let's quit blaming God for everything. Why won't God do something? God's sitting up there, when will they do something? It is wonderful to believe God's word, but you must. To be the changer of circumstances, like God in Genesis 1, believe your words. Okay. Genesis 2:19. I just read that. This is Adam. Let's just read it. We're going to get this. We're getting this. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. I was talking to my daughter the other day, and she's talking about salary and different things. And I said, well, I said, you know, we're just calling in what salary we want. You have to be under the thumb of some supervisor or something trying to cut you off or trying to keep you under or trying to squeeze a penny out for you. You far bypass that. The kingdoms of this world have now become the kingdoms of this of our God. He shall reign forever. What do you think you're doing down here? The kingdom. This is the kingdom. We're not going to call for more of what we got. God didn't say, now say what I say. He said, act like me. Say what you want. God has placed you in situations to see what you will call them. Too much of the time is, I hate this place. I hate it. I hate this. I hate that. This is what I'm seeing. God's saying, call those things which be not as though they were. Why are we putting so much responsibility on God? Isn't that why the church is a wreck today? They're all sitting back on their suitcases waiting for the rapture. Oh, Lord, come! Doing nothing! Nothing. This is strong today, but I'm telling you what, when we finally get this, unbeatable, unstoppable, no longer a victim of our circumstances. Oh, goodness! I can't tell you how much I hear that. It's just, and the Lord is saying, what more could I have done? I gave my life. I took the stripes on my back where you'd never have to be sick. I sacrificed myself that you might have wholeness and soundness, preservation, that's what salvation is, in every area of your life. And we look at some Adam Shifty Shifts. I'm just like, it's a circus. In fact, it's comical. They have no power to do anything. Not when the righteous are in authority. We have the ability to change it all. Instead of sitting around, why don't somebody do something? The Lord's saying, well, there's animals. Call them. And they're animals, let me tell you. Baboons and buffoons and J.A.'s. Acting like them too. Impeach. Come on. We should never, ever get under the circumstances concerning these people that act like Satan. They're acting just like their father. Because God has put us here to call the shots and to call it like we want it and to quit acting like they and fussing and fighting and griping and saying, God don't love me, why don't he do something? Do you want Jesus to come and be crucified again? Would you believe again? If you did, he did. If you came, would you believe that time? It's kind of like with the rich man. Jesus said to the rich man, you know, he said, well, Abraham, Father, send somebody back to my five brothers so they won't come to this place of torment. He said, they won't believe even if I send Moses and the prophets. Or if one was died and rose from the dead, they wouldn't believe. That wouldn't make any difference. They're either going to believe or they're not going to believe. But we don't have to be those that go that way. We can be the ones that say, I don't care what I'm experiencing and what I'm seeing. I know what God's word says, and it's final. That's the end of it. All right. All right, God has placed you in a situation to see what you would call them. He has placed before his once perfect creation and pondered it. He meditated before he spoke. When he did, bam, there's the big bang. When he said, light be, light was, there's the big bang. That all the Satanists are talking about, they have no bang, but people of faith do. Faith people have the ability to change the landscape no matter what mess Satan has made. See, that's what God had to do. He had to come in, remake the landscape where Satan had been. Because anywhere he goes, he kills, he steals, he destroys. So the church comes in and goes, light be, vegetation, animals, you know, divine order. When they see out of order, they speak divine order. That's what these confessions we speak. And it's working. It's working. Okay. It's time to stop viewing where you are as a curse and time to get busy changing it by speaking what you want. By the way, you're redeemed from the curse. That's Galatians 3:13. We'll look at that. Jesus became a curse for us. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. What you're facing is an opportunity to take something that is missing or broken and fix it with your faith. You're seeing darkness, all you got to do is speak light. God's words accomplished. His words accomplished. Isaiah 55:11 says, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall prosper. Wait a minute. Let me just read it. I don't want to miss. Let me just go ahead. This is Isaiah 55:11. That whole chapter is good because it's talking about coming out of spiritual darkness. And instead of the darkness, you start seeing things bud and spring forth. All right, this is 11. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Now see, God wants us to have what pleases us as his kids. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So what pleases you? Call it. If you start feeling an inkling from the Lord, well, say this instead, then do it, change it. But if not, start somewhere. Don't just sit like a stump and just bemoan. He believes what he says. How about you? Do you believe what you say? You've been getting it all your life, whether you realize it or not, mostly in the negative. Our world is full of Satan's false narratives, but it's not as bad as what God saw. Not total annihilation. I personally don't believe it was not the first time he had to restore it either. I think that is why he promised not to flood the earth again, because in Genesis 1 it was covered in water. A possibility. Okay, God said, here we go again. I mean, isn't that kind of the way it is? Whenever we see a mess, here we go again. Okay, Genesis 1 and 2, God said, here we go again. So here we are. What are you going to do about it? Cry and complain about that mean old devil, what he's doing? Sly Brother Hagin, whenever he was, an angel came to visit him, was had something to speak to him, and the Lord was there. And this demon comes up, starts spreading all this smoke and all this, making such a mess and a racket. And he's trying to, the Lord's trying to speak to him, and he said, doesn't the Lord realize I can't hear what he's saying because of what this demon's doing? Finally got tired of it and rebuked it or bound it or did something, and it fell to the ground like a whipped puppy and run off. And the Lord said, if you hadn't have done that, I couldn't have. He said, Lord, you must have made a mistake. You said you couldn't have. He said, no, I couldn't have. Because he's given that authority to us. All right. You have power over him. He is scared to death of you. He can't speak anything into existence, but you can. The only way he gets evil done is by corrupting the mouths of men. He can't create anything. He corrupts men's mouths to speak what they do not want. Luke 10:19, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Yesterday I was listening to something. It was a woman that was an advocate for vaccines. She had had a child that had been injured through vaccines, and as I was listening to that, she had a list of all these things that they put in different kinds of shots. As I'm listening to this, the Lord just said to me, it's not any different than praying over your food and calling it clean. You pray over them babies that those vaccines will do their body good and it won't do any harm. Don't worry about all that stuff. I said, fine, because I was concerned about my great-grandson. They give them the first few days of birth, they give them a hepatitis shot. And it's supposed to be something that I forget. But anyway, it doesn't make any difference. It changed my perspective about it. So I'll be decreeing and speaking over this. And that way, what I say goes, not what the devil says. Because what Jesus said was true. It's not what goes in the mouth of the man that defiles him. It's what he thinks. This is monumental. Okay. The Lord won't hear any excuses when he comes. He will ask you, what have you done? Do you complain or gain? Did you complain or gain? That's always going to be considered interested in, did you just complain or did you gain? Okay, I'm going to read that. The whole church out there is just waiting for God to do something about their problems, but God is sitting in heaven waiting on them to do something. Matthew 25. Let's see what verse here. Okay, 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling unto a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made other 5 talents. And likewise he that had 2 talents, he gained another 2. But he that received 1 went and dug in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside thee 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. And his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he that had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art and hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not spread. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast what is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap not, I sowed not, and gather where I have not spread. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with interest. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him who hath 10 talents. For every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. Therefore shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Either we're going to complain or we're going to gain. Whole church out there, they're just waiting. Lord, do something, do something. Sadly, most just let Satan's false narrative just slap them about. They believe more in what they see than what God's word says. Children of Israel is a prime example. When they come in to take the land, they sent the 12 spies over there. 10 come back with a bad report. 2 came back with a good report. The 10 ended up dying out. The 2 had supernatural youth renewal, and they went in and took the land. To me, it was a simple choice. They either believed God or they believed what they saw. God has given us all that we need to succeed. Jesus was sent to show us the way. What way is that? The way of faith. Time to stop being ruled by what we see and put our mouths in action. Luke 19:13. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10, wait a minute, oh yeah, that's it, and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, Occupy till I come. Kind of like the parable of the talents. Speak and don't look back. That's the problem. We're here, we've spoken, we're believing, and we better go back and check. All right, look at Mark 11:11. We're gauging if the Lord's answered by how we feel, how what we see. Is it manifested or not? And we don't walk by sight, walk by faith. Mark 11:11. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and said, went into the temple, and when he had looked around about upon all things, and now the evening was coming, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. And on the next day, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if perhaps he might find anything on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Okay, let's keep reading. And they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple, began to cast out those that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of those that sold doves. And would not allow that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught them, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations a house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of robbers? And the scribes and chief priests heard it, saw how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his doctrine. And when evening was fully come, he went out of the city. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. Jesus answering said unto them, Have faith in God, for verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. So Jesus says, if you will believe what you're saying. Jesus didn't go back and check. He spoke, and then he moved on. Peter's the one that went back and checked. Okay, Luke 9:62. I have some more to say on that. We'll come back to it. 9:62. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of heaven. Jesus made a decree and then went on about his business. He didn't go back and check it out. He just decreed. Now you can see why most Christians don't see results in their situations. They're looking for a natural manifestation to believe. They won't believe unless they see it. Just the opposite of faith. Jesus had a disciple like that. This is John 20. He rebuked him too. This is 20:24. Now all the disciples had seen Jesus appear before them, and Thomas didn't see him. And he makes a statement. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I see in his hands the print of the nails, put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were inside, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach here thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. So that's where we are today. Jesus said this in Matthew 4:4. Let me flip over there right quick. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So Jesus cursed the fig tree. The word cursed or cursed, it's not cursed. Cursed is not in there. It's cursed. C-U-R-S-E-D-S-T. It means doomed. After Jesus doomed the fig tree, the roots dried up. I say it is time to do what he did. Curse the problem, then the roots will dry up. I remembered something that's been 2 or 3 years ago. I remember hearing C.K. Thompson talking about a dream that she had. And in this dream, it was all these mountains. And she said all these mountains had this big taproot underneath them. She was talking about in the dream, the Lord said, you need to curse the root. Because the mountain's supposed to be cast into the sea. The Lord said, curse those roots. And so that's what, the Lord started giving me this, I thought about that dream that she had. After Jesus doomed the fig tree, the roots dried up. It's time for us to curse problems. In Matthew 15:13, it says, what's not of my heavenly Father has been plucked up out of me. That indicates there's some roots of some things. Strongholds, they have roots. The roots need to be cursed. Time to doom the mountains that stand in your way. Time to cut that taproot. Here's what taproot is. A large central and dominant root from which other roots sprout laterally. Typically, a taproot is somewhat straight and very thick. It's tapering in shape and grows directly downward. How do we get rid of taproots? With the sword of the Spirit. Ephesians 6. Winning the battle by controlling the narrative in your personal life and beyond. Curse situations. Curse the taproots in situations. If there's a long-term thing in your life, curse the root of that thing. Sometimes I think we don't get results because we're not doing it the Bible way. Jesus got results. I want the results of Jesus. Okay, that's going to be all of that one.